And now we have a reading of our scripture for this morning. And I'd like to invite Kelsey, see if she's here, to come and read scripture for us.
Today's scripture is taken from James chapter 2, verses 14 to 22, and it reads, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. This is the word of the Lord."
This morning's favorite scripture passage was submitted by Vince, so I invite him to come forward. I continue the sermon series asking people to submit a favorite or important scripture passage. And if we could turn to the PowerPoint, we'll look at the second slide. I think Aaron is setting that up. Great. So we do continue the sermon series, and let's look at the next slide for James 2, verse 17, which is the passage that Vince selected. James 2, verse 17 is, "So by faith itself, if it has no works, is dead." And I ask first then, Vince, why is this an important passage for you?
Well, this passage is relevant to me at this moment in my life. Because it's basically a scripture about faith in action. So, one of the first hurdles that you learn as a kid, you learn Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 about, you're saved by faith only, right? It seems like a contradiction, but upon, studying and growing in the Lord, you realize that, it's not a contradiction, but it's God's free gift of grace is what saves us. And I don't believe that just simply believing is, enough. And but God does want you to advance your faith, to the point in the passage that is in James. So God wants us not to just have the faith and only believe that He alone will save us, but God wants us to have that kind of faith that by its nature produces action through love. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I thought it was really neat then how you had sort of picked both your James passage and then mentioned the Ephesians passage. Yeah. At first look, you're right, it's not complementary at all, but it is interesting to see about how it talks about faith, how important it is needed, and works as a complement of that as well. Yeah. So I know when you talked about why it's a favorite passage, you had a really good line I wanted to share with the congregation where you said, "God wants us to have the kind of faith that by its nature produces action through love." I thought that was really good. And we also said that it's very fitting about the timing because you and the youth group are working on Operation Christmas Child. And I know this isn't a question I asked you, but can you share why you've chosen, or you and Stephanie have chosen, to have the youth group do Operation Christmas Child again this year?
Well, I think every year it's something that I believe the youth, it's a way to teach the youth, also to share, all the blessings that God has given you. I've been blessed a lot in my life, and, I want to give back, but I also want to show that I'm just not, the only person, or it's just something that to do, There's a significance behind it, and that's why it kind of ties into it. And, next week we are collecting shoe boxes. Here's my stump for Operation Christmas Child. We are collecting shoe boxes for, again, for everybody, and supplies. And, I know it costs a little bit of money, but, with all the blessings that God has given you, I think just giving it to those who are in need just shows that, you know, God is love. And so by doing this action, we're showing God's love to mm-hmm. everybody.
Yeah, so it's definitely fitting or filling the scripture passage of knowing that faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
So it's you're encouraging people to do the works. Right. So we're going to go on to the next slide and talk about when it became a favorite passage of yours.
I don't think I should call it my favorite passage, you know, because certain scripture during your life has a significance to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the most relevant at this point. You know, I can talk about multiple events throughout my life and which kind of led me to why this is most significant to me at this point in time.
Yeah, and speaking about the multiple events, I know one of the times that you have used this passage, when I read it, I was like, oh, that is such a great example, and it's a way you encountered a person who didn't have faith, but drew in scripture and your own faith as an example for that person. So maybe you can share about the blood drive.
Okay, so I shared with Pastor Eva a brief story about blood donation. So I regularly donate blood to the Red Cross, and we have blood drives at work. And one of my friends, who's not a Christian, had said to me, you know, well, why do you donate blood? I was like, well, it's nothing that is, you know, cost me anything. You know, it gives me an excuse to eat afterwards because they tell you you should eat. So I like eating. And so it's just one of those things where it's just like, to me, it's in my body. I'm giving it to somebody. It helps benefit people. Again, it's an action, you know, of expressing love. And my friend came back to me and said something along the lines of, well, I think you're crazy, you know, giving away your blood for free. I wouldn't do that. I'd go to a blood bank and have them pay me to donate blood. Mm. And it just sat with me the wrong way. It really did. And I told my friend, think of this. You have children, you know, and if your child gotten in an accident and needed my blood type, how would you feel mm-hmm. if I said, okay, I'll donate blood, you pay me $1,000 first, and then I'll donate? I mean, this is something that I can do to save somebody's life. It doesn't cost me anything other than time, you know.
And,
but, you know, I just kind of walked away from that situation, and I didn't want to discuss that anymore.
Yeah.
But then later on, you know, then he started regularly donating blood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to say regularly, but, you know, he's donated a few times since that point. But then he was like, okay, yeah, I get
mm-hmm.
it. So, you know, I didn't really share my faith directly with him. But it's, again, through your action. And I think that's, we as Christians, we always get that extra scrutiny. I think I had a discussion with Samantha once about how they always are, you say you're a Christian and they're like, oh, you did this wrong or something like that. They're always looking for you to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this isn't a mistake or anything, but this is like, again, my faith in action, right?
Yeah.
I am donating blood for a greater cause other than myself. It's not for recognition. You know, because people don't know where your blood comes from. And it's also not, for, you know, I'm not getting paid. There's no monetary gain out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's great how your faith or your example even might have helped your friend to see, okay, I do need to give blood and help others and not do it just to be paid for it. So I thought that was a great example of how you've kind of had this passage in your life at that time. And then you also shared recently what you were experiencing at work and a little bit of being torn between your project, which deals with the homeless, and also social justice and needing to help the homeless. So maybe you could share about that as well.
Sure.
And how the passage has been important to you for this example.
So I think it's been most more relevant, I should say, because of my job. So I'm actually transitioning out of that job right now to move on to a different position. But mm-hmm. my job as you know, just a couple months ago, was major damage restoration coordinator. And, you know, there's this homeless crisis in LA County, and, you know, they go into our facilities, our bridges and stuff, to seek shelter. And, you know, I shared this with the R360 group. I'm given these orders, basically, to do and install what they call hardened fencing and hardscape. So essentially, it's just fences that are harder to cut into mm-hmm. and also placing concrete or rocks underneath our underpasses and stuff like that, you know, where they seek shelter to deter homeless encampments. And, you know, for me, it's kind of like, well, how do you balance your faith as a Christian
mm-hmm.
and again, showing love to those who are in need versus what, you know, my job is, which is to protect state facilities. And one of the things that we actually built into the projects were to offer social services to those who are in need. And by doing that, you know, we kind of help our upper management from, you know, having to answer questions, you know, what is seemingly a cruel project to do. You're displacing the homeless, you make it hard for them to sleep in there, you know, but at the same time, it's like, well, we can't have you destroying our facilities and things like that. So part of that was we tried to build that in, and also the other part was there are other people in my position or other forces in our maintenance forces who do offer it when they go through these homeless encampments. You know, they do go in there with CHP to kick them out for security purposes because they could get violent, but also to have call up social services mm-hmm. to come out and say, hey, you know, I know we're displacing you and things like that, but we're offering you help. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good to know that I'm not alone in this. I know that sometimes our upper management just sees things in black and white, but fortunately, you know, I do have coworkers who say, hey, you know, we are going to offer you services, but we also need to do our job and stuff like that. So it's kind of difficult sometimes.
So it definitely sounds like you're trying to find that balance of, you know, protecting the freeways and the underpasses and the, you know, public areas, but also trying to have a balance for long-term care for homeless people, especially with the social services people that your government agency is working with. So I appreciate that. And it kind of will touch on something that I'll talk about as part of my message about John Wesley and his idea of works, and it's works of mercy and works of piety. So thank you so much, Vince, for sharing your favorite passage or important passage. Let's give Vince a hand. It has been a joy to continue this sermon series and to hear from different people their favorite passages. I'm learning that the book of James seems to be an important passage for many of our church members. I know other church members have shared this shared passages from James as well. So this morning I'm going to delve a little bit more into James itself and also the scripture passage from James 2 verses 14 to 22. Let us pray first. Lord, I ask that you guide my words as I share about the scripture, and that these words show your truth and will for us. And Lord, I ask that you open our hearts and minds so that we may hear the word as you speak to us and find your will and way of life for us through these words. We know it is an important message of having faith without works is not possible, and we ask, Lord, that you build up our faith as we examine the way that we can do the works you have called us to do. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. So let's go to that first slide, where in the book of James we have this great quote, and it is often quoted from James chapter 2, that faith without works is dead. In the book of James, it does an interesting thing. It tells us directly two things, actually. First, there is a consistent focus on practical action in life of faith. James, the author, gives us a consistent focus on the practical action of the life of faith. And also, James the author gives direct commands to pursue a life of holiness. They say the author of James most likely was not an original disciple of Jesus, may have even been his relative, but after the time of Jesus was an apostle who began to spread the word of Christianity. So his focus was telling people about practical actions they could have in life of faith, and also giving them direct commands of how to pursue a life of holiness. The author, let's see, where's his name? Okay, let's go to the next slide. Yeah. We know that James is called, it says, the author Chuck Swindoll in God's Masterwork series says that James is like the Old Testament Book of Proverbs version dressed up in New Testament clothes. It's interesting to think that James is like the Book of Proverbs. We know that the Book of Proverbs are sets of instructions and sets of parables and things that the people of the Hebrew and the Jewish time used to live their daily lives out. And we see that in the Book of James, there is often times where James the author gives instructions and gives actions that the people must take. It says that Proverbs was written to give prudence, the simple knowledge and discretion to the young, and to make the wise even wiser. Oftentimes throughout the book of Proverbs, you see the words my son or my child written throughout the book. And then James itself, this book, similar to Proverbs, is giving people directions and instructions on how to live its life. We go on to the next slide and see that James is, my slides are a little bit mixed up. Consistent focus on the practical action in the life of faith. So we look first at James verse 17 to 18, and let me get my right slide, sorry. And we see in this passage in James chapter 2 verses 14 to 16 that James does first give direct commands on how to pursue a life of holiness. James is saying, what good is it, my brothers and sisters? Similar to Bob Proverbs who says, my child or my son. But here James is saying, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works, can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? For James knew what was happening in his time as the Christians were being built up, and many of these people had come from the Jewish faith, so yes, knew of Christ, this famous Jewish man who had died on the cross for their sins and allowed them God's grace, but many of the people were also Gentiles, people who did not have a Jewish faith or background, so they were new to the faith, and he was teaching them directness about holiness. He says, can faith save you? This new faith that the people have, and this faith that they must believe in God, but also not just believe in God, but follow the actions of God, of God's will for them. For he knew that his brothers and sisters, they were, yes, being faithful, holy people practicing this new faith, but that they were not showing their faith in their works and actions. So he gives this example about a person naked and lacking of daily food. Yes, it's okay to say to the person, go in peace, which is showing your faith and sharing your faith with the person, and saying to the person, keep warm and eat your fill. But yet, that means nothing if you do not help them to be warm, do not help them to have food to eat to their fill. He's reminding them that you cannot just have this faith of words, but you must have a faith of actions. He was reminding them that it is no good. Faith without actions is dead. And we go on to see in the next slide that in the passage from James chapter 2, he goes on to say in verse, 19 to 22, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. For James is telling the people, yes, both Jews and Gentiles, they have this great one belief in God and knowing that God is one. He was dealing with people who had before had practiced pagan religions and had worshipped to many idols. And the practice of worshipping to many idols was meant so that they could better their lives. They would worship to an idol of wealth so they'd be able to get more money in their lives. They would worship to an idol of fertility to grow their family. They would worship to the idol of agriculture, a different god, so that their crops would grow well. Or they would worship to an idol of prosperity to build up their homes and make them more prestigious in society. But no, as the new Christians understood that there was just one true God and they must follow the one true God, James is reminding them of that. You say you believe that God is one and you do well, but understand, even the demons, they say they believe, and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Reminding them again, yes, you say you have faith in words, but you must also have faith in actions. And also saying about the Jewish ancestor of Abraham, and we know the story of Abraham, who longed for a son so long and received his son Isaac. But then when God said, okay, Abraham, you have prayed to me, you have shown your faith in words. You have been a good leader. You have read scriptures. You have prayed and loved your wife and been a good husband. You've done all these things. And now I have rewarded you with a son, Isaac. But now I'm challenging you to put this faith you have, this great faith you have, so much so that I have rewarded you with a son, challenging to put this faith in action. And that action is asking Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac on an altar, to take him to a mountain and place him on an altar table and sacrifice him as one would sacrifice a lamb to God in praise of God. And Abraham did just that. He took his son up to that mountain, up to that altar, and laid his son down and was ready to sacrifice his son. But God knew then that Abraham was showing his faith in action, so willing to be so faithful to God that his action of killing his son was something that Abraham was willing to do. He had faith in action, and his faith was not dead. But God stopped Abraham from killing his son, rewarded Abraham instead with long life and lands for his son, and a sheep appeared nearby. So it was the sheep that Abraham took and sacrificed it on the table for instead of Isaac for God. And we also know that this is, of course, an Old Testament story, but we know in the New Testament, what is the sacrificial sheep that was given? The sacrificial sheep was Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was the sacrificial sheep given so that we, in turn, can have our faith and our sins forgiven. And that's why we go, and I apologize for skipping around in my slides. Let's go back to slide number 6, where it's James 2, verse 17 to 18, the key passage from this morning. Sorry about that. Okay. In this passage, we know that by faith itself, if it has no works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. It seems a little bit like a tongue twister. The faith itself has no works, and you have faith and I have works, and show me your faith apart from your works. But the key message that James is saying to the people is they must, yes, have faith, but they also must have a faith that is shown in their actions. As Vince shared with his stories of donating blood, of Operation Christmas Child, of trying to balance his work with social justice and helping the homeless and also helping his own city with the public places. It's a balance as well and showing how his faith is available in action. And we go on to the next slide, which starts with John Wesley. John Wesley, our founder of United Methodist Church, he believed in the idea of faith and works. And he did this wonderful thing where he connected grace, faith, and works. He said that grace, faith, and works are all necessarily connected. And I believe John Wesley's idea of grace, faith, and works goes very well with this passage from James, especially the focus scripture from verse 17. So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. And also verse 18. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. Because John Wesley believed that without grace, we cannot have faith. Grace is God's forgiveness for us. Grace is God's love and mercy for us. John Wesley believed that God gives us grace. This grace frees us from the deceptive power of sin. He said sin was like a disease, and he was teaching the people then in the 1700s about his belief and idea that if you are born without a belief in Christ, you are born then with a disease. And how do we have that disease removed from our body? It is by believing in God and the power that he resurrected his son, Jesus Christ, for us. So that is the grace we receive. In a way, it's a medication for the sin that we have in our body. This grace that we receive from God frees us from the deceptive power of sin. John Wesley goes on to say that then we can recognize our condition or the disease and have faith to turn to God for a cure. So when we receive God's grace, we know that God will relieve us and cure us of the disease, and we turn to him for a cure. And then Wesley says that this cure involves the life of works. And Wesley does a great thing, because when we talk about this passage from James, faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. I invite you now first to just take a moment, maybe 30 seconds, and write on your worship bulletin or think about it to yourself. What do you think works are? Or what are some works you have done? Write the works down. Because we all know faith by itself, but we now need to look at the works. What is the works that James is talking about, and also John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, is talking about?
Thank you.
Okay. Hopefully you've had a chance to write down a couple of works or what you think are works or works yourself, you yourself have done. Can we just share out loud something you've written down as a work? Anyone on this side, feel free to share. James. Everyday volunteering, yes, that's works. Other people. Practicing hospitality, wonderful, thank you, Gail. Other works or examples that you've done or works you know of that you would that you've written down or shared? Maybe we'll have one more. Jean? Mm-hmm. Yes, you were. Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's so wonderful that Jean really does help her sisters, especially take them to important doctor's appointments or errands or things like that. I know they need to have done. Those are great examples of works. But John Wesley does this very interesting thing where he takes the idea of works and he puts it into two different categories. So let's actually go on to the next slide. First is works of piety. Is it small? Okay. And works of mercy. He says the works of piety that we do are manifestations of how we love God. So works of piety, ways we show we love God, are reading the scriptures, are praying daily, are singing with your fellow church members, are going to worship or observing Sabbath. These are ways you do works of piety, showing how you love God. And then you parallel that with this morning scripture passage from James chapter 2, starting with verse 15. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and in verse 16, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill. You are showing them how you love God. This is a work of piety. You are saying to them, go in peace. We know throughout the Gospels, Jesus often said, go in peace. When he entered a room, he would say, go in peace. After his resurrection, he said to the disciples, go in peace. It was a common greeting, a way of showing, you are my fellow child of God. We are brothers and sisters, and I offer you God's love with these words of hospitality, go in peace. It is a work of piety this person is doing. And you're also saying them, you wish them well. You wish them to be warm and you wish them to eat their fill. This is another way of showing how you love God when you wish well on your fellow brothers and sisters. But also, James is reminding the people, you can't just have these ways of loving God, of faith, without having actions. And so John Wesley says there's not just works of piety that show how we love God, reading scriptures, going to worship, singing praises, being in fellowship with another, and passing the peace to another, but you must also have works of mercy. These are ways, John Wesley says, works of mercies are ways we manifest how we love Christ. For we remember Christ's word to not just love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, but Christ also commanded us to love one another as we love ourselves. And that's where in James it continues that when you see a person who is naked or lacks daily food, don't just say to them, go in peace, offering them the words of loving God, but you must fill their bodily needs as well. You must feed them. You must provide a place of warmth for them. You must help them be better, not just saying the words and giving them the greeting, but do more than that, doing the acts of mercy, which is sort of like feeding the homeless or volunteering or other things that we do in this today's world. We know the United Methodist Women do so much where they have fed the homeless in the past, where they raise funds for single mothers and they help church members as well. They're showing how they love Christ through their actions, these works of mercy. And John Wesley does this great thing where he reminds us that, yes, we have a balance of work of piety, the wonderful ways we show how we love God, but it is nothing if we don't show works of mercy, the ways of how we love Christ in our actions and how we do things. And that is exactly what James is saying. Because as the key passage says, faith by itself, those works of piety, if it has no works, those works of mercy is dead. So John Wesley really wanted the followers of his time to understand that as well. And I tie that in with the passage from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 9 that Vince also shared with me when we were having our conversation about God's love. It says, dear friends, love, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So we have faith because we know God loves us, and we know that we want to show God our love. And this passage also continues, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So we must remember our works of piety, of honoring God, but we also remember that God gave us the greatest gift, how he showed love to us. We, through our works of piety, our scripture passages that we read, our prayers daily to God, our times we worship together, our ways we say to other people that God loves them, this is our way of showing God how we love him. But God also showed us how he loves us so much that he gave his Son, and he gave his Son that so that we may have his grace. And this is how we live through him, through his Son, Jesus Christ, by doing then these works of mercy. We also know that we are called then to be better people, to help one another, to show our faith in our actions, so then our faith must not be dead. And I ask us now to close with the last screen. It's a prayer from John Wesley. John Wesley was known to say this, although there are many people who disagree if he said this exactly. But let's read together John Wesley's way of doing all the good we can. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can. This was John Wesley's reminder that yes, we must have works of piety, but we also must have works of mercy, where we help our brothers and sisters, to feed them, to help them be warm, to clothe them, and to remember the words of James, that if we do not have faith without works, then our faith is dead. Let us pray. Loving God, we have heard this passage from James this morning, a reminder, a direction of holiness, and a way to put our faith into practice. And we ask, Lord, that our faith not be dead, but that you instill in us a desire to do works of piety, to do works of mercy. Use us, Lord, to do your works of mercy, to help those in need, to show love to those who do not yet know your love, and to spread our faith in this world. We ask, Lord, that you continue to be with us throughout this month as we prepare our hearts and minds soon for the season of Advent, and continue to read your scripture passages, continue to pray to you daily, Lord, and continue to be faithful worshipers, as we also continue to look at ways that we can volunteer, ways that we can help one another, and ways that we continue to follow in Christ's footsteps. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Come now to our time of communion together. Hear these words of invitation. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remains steadfast. And so with all the people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
I'm going to actually do the abbreviated version because I want to be wary of our time and to honor the Chinese service start at 11:30. So we don't need the PowerPoint. And on the night when Jesus sat down with his disciples, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, Lord. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given in remembrance for you."